back now to the extraordinary developments in Libya that we've been following. It's actually feels bigger than Libya in some sense this morning. A lifelong fight ending in an instant. A monster who haunts the mind of every child. A boogeyman beyond Halloween's imaginings. A battle with no prospect of success. A prison with no windows. All of it vanishes in a newsflash seen and heard around the world. And in minds and hearts, an oppressive presence is lifted. We heard from voices yesterday. What's that like?
It's done, you know. It's over. The black time is over for us.
It feels as if something on our chest, and now it's gone.
It's done. It's gone. It's gone, and we are very, very happy. And you can't imagine the celebration in Tripoli and the relief of our people everywhere.
Relief, shock, joy after 40 years of hope.
But if the people in Egypt and Tunis could do this, decide their fate, then why wouldn't we? More than 40 years, he done brought the nation under occupation. We cannot be waiting, we gon' stop debating. When one of us dies, 10 jump in line ready to box for Satan. You can't take our freedom and take our soul. Take our freedom and take our soul. You are not the one that's in control. You are not the one that's in control.
That sound of hope comes from our next guest, Khalid M., a Chicago-based rapper whose life in America has been defined by opposition to the Gaddafi regime. Good morning, Khalid.
Good morning.
Thanks
Thank
for coming
you for
in.
Me.
How do you feel this morning?
It's amazing. You know, I wasn't looking forward to getting up this early for a radio interview, but it turned out I didn't get too much sleep anyway. I've been restless, and I just can't wait to go home.
What's your connection to those voices that you just heard, who were people we talked with yesterday from the streets of Tripoli, the streets of Misrata? In a sense, you're feeling what they're feeling this morning.
I mean, that's all I've known growing up. I grew up in a community of political activists and dissidents in Lexington, Kentucky, all of whom knew each other before we ever lived in the States and were kind of on the run country to country.
Seriously, you went to Lexington because you thought you could possibly escape the reach of Gaddafi?
Well, you know, one of the reasons they chose to eventually go to America, ironically, was to be able to practice their religion freely. But also, they needed to go to a random city that had no Libyans where they wouldn't have to be worried about, you know, who was a spy, who wasn't a spy. It was a beautiful upbringing.
And yet, your rap music, your sense of your Libyan identity is something you cultivated within yourself, all by yourself, in a sense, with your help of your family.
For sure, it's a part of me. I mean, I know Libya is kind of fresh in the news, but this is something we've grown up with, you know, our whole lives. And I grew up around a bunch of kids my age that, you know, had fathers with similar stories. I didn't realize till I was an adult that it was, a bizarre childhood or extremely unique.
You know, Colonel Gaddafi has been in power since before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Gaddafi has been the bad guy for Libyans for mm-hmm. four decades. Mm-hmm. And now he's dead. What unites Libyans now if it's not a distaste for Gaddafi?
You know, I just see a lot of hope for the future in Libya. And I think one thing we understand that it's beautiful to be able to disagree right now. It's a blessing to be able to disagree and to have open divisions, because before, opinions weren't allowed at all. So, you know, we welcome, you know, all the different factions within the country. It's an amazing thing. And we realized there was no ideology. There was no single ideology that was a driving force behind this revolution. People from all different backgrounds, all different beliefs within Libya came together. And now it's time to stick together and realize we still have a long road ahead of us.
And, you know, they may need that sentiment over there in Libya. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what your plans are. Have you got a tour that you're finishing up here? We'll talk about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. Take me back to when you were growing up and how your father mm-hmm. cultivated or expressed a sense of hope that things could change in Libya. Did he ever?
For sure. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you that I actually expected to be living in America this long. We always had a phrase, lemon rojo, like once we return. We always thought it was going to be any year now. It wasn't just my father. You know, my uncles passed away in 1984, actually in an assassination attempt. And everybody that I grew up around sacrificed. These people really sacrificed. They've gone. I'm seeing all, you know, the sort of uncles that I grew up with now returning home, and they haven't seen their parents for 30 years, the siblings for 30 years, and it's just an amazing thing.
Let's listen to some of your work here.
You attempted to cage every thought, but resistance is locked in our minds. From real back to towers to Tahrir Square, nobody can deny us. We're there and we are not leaving till we have got freedom. We are willing to bleed and even stop breathing. You must have known from the rust on your throne that you couldn't maintain by cutting the phones. Justice alone will sustain our presence. Tunisia to Libya, Bahrain to Yemen.
You can't take our freedom or take our soul.
Bahrain to Yemen. They wonder this morning if it's going to turn out like what has happened in Libya. Resistance is locked in our mind. You attempted to cage every thought. What was that like for you and your father specifically? Because when you say that lyric in that song, Can't Take Our Freedom, it sounds so completely authentic.
True. There was actually an artist I featured on the song by the name of Loki out of the UK. But it just, regardless of how our voices have been attempted to be taken away from us, you know, our thoughts and our beliefs are still there. I mean, people are coerced into all type of actions within Libya. Outsiders don't really understand the climate and how you have to go to these rallies and show your support. Even here in America in 2009, when Gaddafi came to New York and we protested, all Libyan students that were in America were forced to go or else they would be stripped of their scholarships. And they're also paid $1,500 each and given accommodations and hotels. But regardless of what's going on the outside and what it looks like, he can't take away our inner beliefs, our inner thoughts.
You know, Gaddafi was the butt of a lot of jokes. Oh, yeah. Even last night, there were these jokes from some Saturday Night Live comedians mm-hmm. about Gaddafi. What did you think of that in the United States, seeing him sort of poked fun of in the media without really understanding the deeper reality?
There's definitely no denying that he's an extremely bizarre character, you know, justifiably so. But I feel like his buffoonery was almost a mask for his sadistic and brutal nature, you know, and I feel like people overlooked that a lot and just thought, "Ha, this guy's kind of funny," but there was really a deeper terror hidden underneath.
So when you would see those jokes, you would see Gaddafi using his mask to conceal his brutality.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing you got to give Gaddafi credit for is he's a master of propaganda, and he definitely knows how to turn people against each other or to kind of brush away attention from what's really going on.
So what's your responsibility in all this now? What do you do next?
I just think collectively each person needs to assess their value and how they can help rebuild the country, whether it's raising awareness, whether it's offering aid, whether it's trying to help, you know, teach the people how to use institutions and how to have a voice. You know, there's absolutely no infrastructure in Libya. It's different than Egypt and Tunisia. There's no political parties. There's no labor unions. There's no community centers. And we really have to learn how to be free.
And this morning, it's Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot to do from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Khaled M., a Libyan-American rapper from Chicago who's been watching the circumstances in his country and the regime of Muammar Gaddafi all of his life. Khaled, thanks so much and congratulations.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure.
So you got me in your ear like a Q-tip. They supposed to be close to me, man. I got it in a bag like groceries. We both agree. My flows are felt below the belt. Ha, they can make what's frozen melt. I was never given a name, still stay really fly. Now I live in a dream like Vanilla Sky. Stay tuned, don't flip through commercials. We in the house like a kid after curfew. I got y'all riding with me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.